Praise the Lord. Can you stand up there with your Bible? Okay. Our text is from Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Are we there? Please, let's be on our feet and pick it as a text. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. So we continue the topic of the adoption of the believer. And that should be part four. The fourth part of this series. We're looking at the position of the believer and the expectation of God for every one of us. Praise the Lord. And we'll read another scripture again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Verse 48, sorry. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Together, all of us, shall we go? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And once you talk about the adoption of the believer, we are talking about perfection. Amen. And when you are born again, you are a child. And so, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It's one of the scriptures we have been looking at. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and verse 2. It says, "Now I say," because the Bible where we read in verse 15, Romans chapter 8, says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Then he says that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And so, you cannot be given authority, though you are a heir apparent. All that the Father has belongs to you, but when you are just born again like that little child, you are not automatically given that power. You are expected to earn it. So you go through a process of tutorship. That's what we've been explaining the past series. To let you know that after you are born again, you are expected to grow to a certain stage before the full authority of sonship is given to you. So the purpose of this message is to wake you up and allow the Holy Ghost, the tutor, to tutor you and cause you to grow. We saw that our perfect example, the first Son of God, the Lord Jesus himself, we saw that the Bible says he grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor. He also grew. And we saw where Jesus Christ received the Holy Ghost. And after he received the Holy Ghost, there was an announcement that this is now my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. But he was led by the Spirit, Matthew chapter 4 verse 1. He was led by the Spirit to the wilderness. The Spirit of God led him to be tempted of the devil, of Satan. And that temptation, while Satan is thinking to make him fall, is God's own process of training his son. And that there is always a wilderness period from the time you are born again until you come to that maturity, stage of maturity that the Bible calls perfection. And God is perfect. And if your Father is perfect, then nothing less is expected of us. That's why it's a commandment. Be ye perfect. It's a commandment. You don't choose it. You have to. If not, you will live an underprivileged Christian life. You will not grow and have the authority that is expected of a child of God. He achieves this by that training purpose. Training period. Hallelujah. Do that for you to use that period and acquire the divine nature. The divine nature is the image of God. That God had the purpose, every one of us that He created. He created us in His image and in His likeness. But something happened that reduced us to what we are today, and hence the need for a second birth, the new birth. This time is a spiritual rebirth. It's spiritual. And when you become born again, He now takes you through a process that will mold you into that image. The first perfect image we are looking at to copy from, to desire to achieve, is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1 verse 15, it says Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. So the image that God desired in Genesis 1:26 is what was produced in Jesus Christ. And so when you know Romans 8:29, it says, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might, hallelujah, that He, Jesus, might become the firstborn among many brethren. So every one of us, you want to know your level in the spirit, in the kingdom, your estate, by what are we measuring it? We have His, our Lord Jesus Christ. He was tempted in everything, the Bible says, as we are, but He conquered all. Why? There was a process He went through. That the Father got to a stage and knew, now I can commit that authority to Him. Then we saw in Matthew chapter 17 how that He now adopted Him. That process of adoption is the Eastern culture, where the heir, the dead authority will be given to him. You call witnesses and announce to them that you have now given him all authority. And that's why He brought Peter, James, and John as witnesses. And in the transfiguration, a voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then He now added, that is the adoption. What did He say? Hear ye Him. That is the day Christ was adopted. And from that day, He can tell anybody, if you see me, you see my Father. My Father and I are one. Hallelujah. All authority was given to Him. Praise the Lord. When He speaks, the Father has spoken. Amen. Not only for Christ, but for every one of us, we must reach that estate. And so, the process, hallelujah, of that perfection is what we looked at last week in 2 Peter chapter 1. 7 steps to perfection. Seven steps to perfection. 2 Peter, hallelujah. Listen very carefully, because faith, revelation, comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And I'm so happy because I discover all around the world, people are connected to what we are doing here, and people's lives are changing. That is our joy. all of you that are sponsoring this channel, your money is not wasted. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Now that song is fulfilled. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophets say it will be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea. When he said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, we didn't know how he will achieve it. He said, then the end will come. Now the gospel of the kingdom is heard through this broadcast. Praise the Lord. Through the internet and through the satellite television. Praise the Lord. And that's why I take it very seriously. And one thing these teachings do, one thing they achieve is they remove you from the spirit of religion. I will say a few things that will make you understand these things today. A few things. You see, it will remove you from the spirit of religion and establish you with your maker and cause you to have a relationship, personal relationship with God. When you are able to achieve that in your Christian growth, then you gain independence, spiritual independence. It's so important. I'm telling you. And that estate is the estate I refer to as the individual adoption. You're no more a baby in the things of the spirit. What some people bother themselves about, you just discover you've gone higher than that. The things that stumble people, you don't even take notice of it. You see? And until we achieve that, we have not succeeded as a ministry. Because the fivefold ministry is the ministry of perfection. It's a ministry of perfection. Perfecting the saints. Verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. A perfecting of the saints. That is what God raised us up for. The leadership position to get the people to grow spiritually to maturity. Not every time depending on a pastor, depending on some prophet, depending when that God that that prophet talks to, you too can talk to him. You see? Every time you are depending, you know, when you receive attack in the night, instead of you to stand up and face that demon, you are spending time looking for phone numbers of prophets and pastors. And the demon is hitting you harder. Hey, Jesus. Hey, give me his number now. Hey, Jesus. Oh, I banned you, Satan. I'm looking for number. Pastor Moses. Hey, Pastor Moses. Hey. And the demon, they laugh at you. You are still a baby. A baby. Ask your neighbor, are you a baby? And you give, if you give your life to Christ just 1 year ago, you are 1 year old child now. We understand. Any 1 year old babies here? Spiritual babies. But 10 years old, and you are still going looking for your mother's breast to suck. Haba! The mother will sound you like this. The mother will take you for deliverance. Because you are not normal. So it is. A very little thing, you will fall. It is a baby that is learning to walk. Hey, go fall, go stand up again. Hey, fall, stand up again. When will you stop falling? When will your bones get strong and you can walk and run and jump? Spiritually. You must grow. That is all we want to achieve. And the process is what we looked at. 7 steps. Are we there? I read it again. Amen. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, is writing a letter to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He said, grace, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace is multiplied unto you through what? Shout knowledge. Because it's what you know that puts you where you are today. It's what you know that puts you where you are today. Knowledge. It is what Oyibo knows that makes them better than we Africans in technology. We don't know anything science. Praise the Lord. We don't know anything science. There's something they know that makes them better than us, and we look up to them. Amen. When they are fighting us, we will cry, America, go over America. I don't know human beings like you. They are like Christians that run after other ministers. Come on. They may not be the same blood of Jesus that are coming to plead like you, but there's something they know. Like I said last week, what makes me better than you? If you say I am better than you, is something I know that you don't know. Nothing more. Praise the Lord. Nothing more. Knowledge, so important. I stressed it last week. And for those who were not here last week, get those tapes. Get the full message. It will help you. This is one of those messages that every one of us need to be listening to over and over and over. It will challenge your faith. It will wake you up to realize that time to just being a church member is over. That is the only thing that will make you different from a denominational believer. Knowledge. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through again the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. I stressed it last week that our call, two things, we are called to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also the image of God. Then, here we see Peter telling us that we are called unto glory. God has called us to glory and virtue. Glory and virtue. Glory there, hallelujah. Showing the attributes of God and virtue there, hallelujah. It's another word to become salty, attractive, beauty. Whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That is the perfection. That is the image of God. It's a divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, we looked at it. The faith that you have, add to that faith what? Virtue. We explained it. And to virtue, add what? Knowledge. We explained it last week. And to knowledge, what are you supposed to add? Temperance. And then to the temperance, what are you supposed to add? Patience. And to patience, what are you supposed to add? Godliness. Holiness. Amen. And that was where we stopped last week, in the stature of perfection. You must add to it. It's add. Add. It's a certificate. And you should be able to score yourself. Which level am I now? Hallelujah. Which level am I now? To this my Christian faith, do I have virtue? Do I have knowledge of God's plan for salvation? Do I know who Jesus is? Do you know who Jesus is? Knowledge. Hallelujah. Because he spoke about the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So there is a knowledge of who God is, and there is a knowledge of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. That's why that songwriter says, who do you say I am? And whence do you say I came? Do you know the Father? And can you tell his name? In Jesus dwell the fullness of the Godhead, don't you see? Jesus is the great I am, and the Lord of Lords is he. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme. Throughout eternity, the great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Hallelujah. Add that knowledge to it. Amen. And to that knowledge, temperance. Temperance. And then you add patience. Patience. If you are still impatient, you cannot wait on the Lord. You cannot renew your strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He said, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Now, when we talk in verse 7, and to godliness, what? Brotherly kindness here is brotherly love. And I need to stress it very well. Brotherly love. Brotherly love. There are three types of love, just translated from the Greek English word love, but actually the Greek interpretation from that Hebrew, they got it correctly, is three types of love, and it is used like that interchangeably in the Bible, but it is all called love. But we need to break it down. Three types of love. Eros, philia, and agape. Amen. Eros is also called love. I love you. I love you. I love you. Amen. I love you. I love you. But when you say I love you, amen, certainly you are applying one of the three. But English people all call it love. And people don't understand it, and they just use the word I love now. I told him I love him now. I told him, but you know I love you now. Then in John chapter 21, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than this? He asked him three times. But the actual interpretation, one, he was referring to filial. The other one, he was interchanging filial and agape in that verse. Do you love me? And Peter was answering, I love you now. You know I love you. But Jesus was looking at him. The type of love I'm talking about, Peter, you know, you are not understanding it. Listen again. Do you love? Amen. Now, do you agape me? Peter, you are only saying you filio me. Praise the Lord. Amen. What is eros, the first kind? The first type, eros, is, listen to this interpretation, passionate. Eros, kind of love, is passionate, it is sensual, and it is longing. Longing. Because you want something, it is desiring something. Amen. And that's why it is also likened to, you know, erotic love, sensual love. You love her because you want to have sex with her or with him. That type of love that desires something to satisfy your sensual desire. And it may be food you are looking for. It may be sex you are looking for. It may be some money you are looking for from the person. The day you refuse to give the person what he's looking for, that love is finished. Or after he has gotten what he's looking for, that love is dead. That is eros. And that type of love is in Christianity too. Amen. So when somebody tells you, brother, I love you. Amen. Before you accept, yes, true to this brother, love me, be sure of what he loves you for. What type of love is loving you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then, amen, that type of love seeks to satisfy only the individual senses. And it's limited in scope because it is something just between you and the person you are looking for something from. Amen. Now the second type of love is philia. And it is wider in scope. It is a love that is expressed, but that type of love is conditional. It is a conditional love, or what I call contractual love. Amen. And it's the type of love that exists among family members, among friends, or, you know, among neighbors. That type of love, philia, is what the Bible referred to as brotherly love. There is a type of love we are supposed to express among ourselves. Why? Because we are members of the same group, or we are members of the same church, or we are members of the same family, or we are members of the same village, or we are members of the same club. It is called brotherly love. Because there is a relationship between the two of you. Something is flowing from you to him and from him to you. There is something of mutual benefit between the two of you. It is called brotherly love. Praise God. And God demands it from us as Christians. There must be love expressed among us. By this, that the Jesus Christ said, by this will they know that you are the children of God if you have love towards one another. And something that, see, among you, you know, see, that, and it, we make everybody to be attracted to join your group. You see? Now, God demands that if I call you my brother, my sister, then there should be love that will express it. My brother, my sister, there must be something that will express that love. And God demands it from us. God demands brotherly love from us. And I'm telling you, even in an assembly like this, we have not even reached that level yet. You must add to godliness, holy living. You don't abuse anybody, you don't drink alcohol. You don't dress like a prostitute, you don't paint your body, you don't wear trousers, sister. Add brotherly kindness to it. It is a stage of Christian maturity. Why? Can we read some scriptures? John chapter 15, verse 23. Let's read some scriptures. Amen. Oh, sorry. What did he say? Everybody, I want us to read it together. Are we there? Very loud. Shall we go? Huh. If you study the Bible, you read this type of scripture, fear will catch you. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, Father, you know I love you. 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 Amen. I love you. I love you. I love you. He said, he that hated me, hated my father also. If you hate a child of God, you hate his father also. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. This is the statement I'm going. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. It's the same thing. If you love the Father who begat the Son, you must love the Son that is begotten of the Father also. If not, you are a liar. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and verse 21. If a man say, I love God, I hated his brother, he is a liar. How many liars are here today? I read it again. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. What you are saying actually is that you don't love God. You are lying. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That is why you are a liar. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 again. Verse 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 8, 9, and 10, and 11. Again, a new commandment I read unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now this is what he's saying, the commandment. He that say he is in the light. I mean the message of the hour. The symbol of our faith. Hallelujah. The symbol of our faith. The pillar of fire. The light that led the people through the wilderness in the night. Are you in the message? Amen. Hallelujah. He that said he is in the light, verse 9, and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. Even now that you are holding the message. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hated his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. What is hatred? Hallelujah. Before you know whether you hate somebody or not. What is hatred? Hatred is any evil wish, evil thought, or evil wish, or evil action towards your brother, towards anybody at all. It is called hatred. In your heart, oh, you wish evil against somebody. You think evil towards somebody. Or you put up evil actions against somebody. It is because you hate the person. And it will surprise you that even in settings like this, there are people that out of jealous hearts, like Cain, because somebody is doing something better or attracting better attraction than you, jealousy comes in and you are wishing some evil will happen to him. Then you will say, I said it, and you'll be celebrating over it. Because your wish has come to pass. Your prayer has come to pass. Your desire has come to pass. It is a hatred. And when you hate a son of God, it is certainly evidence that you hate God also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 25, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. You see, I was in prison, you visited me. And then they say, when were you inside the prison, Jesus? When were you sick that I visited? When were you naked and I clothed you? When were you hungry that I fed you? And he looked at them. Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of who? This my brethren. My brethren. You have done it to me. And so also, inasmuch as you refuse to do it to this my brethren. Amen. And all your tithes and your offerings were in vain. It was me you were hating. You see? And that is brotherly kindness. Lack of it in the ministry. Lack of it in the ministry. Lack of it in the first church. And even now, shall it be in the restored church? Lack of it, according to Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when we come to eating the communion, can we read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 24. Hallelujah. From verse 23. I'm saying something deep now. This is no more milk. This is now bone. Let us chew bone. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. It was God that told Apostle Paul by himself. Paul was not there when it was happening. He was quoting what happened in Matthew chapter 26 from verse 26. The last supper that the Lord had with his disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ also visited Apostle Paul and told him, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25. Then he added, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. these 2 years. Offer as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. This is where he emphasized now. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, that's where we are going. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So it's almost like a curse he was placing there. Let's read on. So he said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I add verse 30. For this reason, for this cause, many believers are weak and sickly among you, and many die asleep. For this reason, many, listen, I've stressed this before. Now continue to stress it till Jesus comes. Because many people miss this thing. I see it in this ministry. I see it. I'm telling you, we have a lot to do to get to that level of brotherly kindness in this ministry. I'm telling you, it was bothering me so much, Pastor Thomas, until a thought came to me. I was saying that what makes us better than the denominationals? Now, they don't know Godhead. They don't know serpent seed. They don't even know why they must be born again. But what all this revelation is supposed to make us, take us to achieve in us, we have not achieved it, but you see it achieved, fulfilled among them. That was the thought in my heart last night. I said, what makes us better than them? Nothing but head knowledge. Head knowledge. Because what every mystery that we know is supposed to achieve is to make us more and more perfect. Christ to be formed more and more. But what has the entire message that God delivered through the ministry of that humble servant of God, William Branham, what it came to achieve? Perfection, brotherly love, manifestations of genuine Christianity. And yet, among the followers of the ministry of William Branham, these virtues are missing. But those who we say they don't know anything about it, see them with their trousers, see them demonstrating brotherly love. With their painted lips, see the rich painted lipped woman taking care of orphans in her church. But you drop your trouser full of mysteries in your head and you know nothing about the practical side of it. So what has this achieved? That's why I say it will be serious, very serious. Your town union, they will visit you if they hear that you are sick. If they hear that your wife has put to bed, the whole of your village people in Lagos will come and visit you. Then your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ, put to bed. It's nothing, nothing. Your brother and sister in Christ, they are here, members of this church. They are doing wedding in this church. Who are the people that fool here? They are the town union people of that brother, of that sister that are here. They come. Your members in the church here, they don't come. Brotherly love. So, what level of perfection is that?
What makes you not different from people in the world?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not condemning you. I want to wake you up. I want to wake you up. That's not the message. That's not the entire message at all. That's not the entire message. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.